Good morning to all. Good to be out with you in God's house this morning. If you would, please turn to Acts, the 16th chapter. Whenever I got here this morning and you guys were teaching, and I never looked at the lesson that you guys were teaching on, I just don't ever do it because whenever I want to preach, I don't want anything to get in the way of what the Lord has put upon me to preach. So if I see that it's been in the lesson, then I'll try to remind the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? But anyway, this is the title of my message this morning. It's how God closes one door and opens another. And whenever you got here this morning, when you were talking about the lesson about how David wanted to build the temple, and it fits right in with it. It wasn't God's plan that he would build the temple. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'll get into it more here in a little bit, but you know, there are times in our lives, folks, when everything can seem right. Am I right? And God says no. He will say no. When everything seems right in our life, and we're not doing anything wrong. Matter of fact, we're doing what we think God wants us to do, and God still says no. Why does that happen? Because God can see the big picture. You can't. I can't. No one in His church can see the big picture like the God that we serve can see. And I have no idea why I'm preaching. What I know is that he impressed it upon me to preach this to you this morning this way. And I praise God for it. The word of the Lord will speak. Like that song says, you know what? You're sitting beside somebody at a deathbed. Maybe something else is going on and you don't understand. And you're praying and you're saying, God, you know what? You know, I know that you can do what you can do. I know this. But God still says no. Why? Like I said, he understands. I've told you the story over and over about when my sister died. I never understood it. 13 years old, and I told you. And I still feel this day. I said, Lord, why? Why? Why did it have to happen? Why did it have to happen this way? And I still feel, and he told me in my spirit one day, you do not know how she would have ended up. You do not know. Don't question me. Don't question me in the fact that, you know, listen to this. She's in heaven. I believe it now. I believe that. I believe she wasn't at the age of accountability yet. That's just the way that God showed it to me. But if she'd have got to that point one of these days in her life and she'd rejected him, it's hard to tell where she'd have ended up. And you know what? I say, God, your will be done, not Dave Long's. Your will be done. The greatest faith that any of you could ever have here this morning is to say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. And then understand it and go with it to understand it. Maybe we'll never totally understand what God has to plan. Maybe we'll never understand why that happened. But I want you to know, if we believe with all of our heart and our faith that God knows what's best, it will be right. Amen. How God closes one door and he opens another in Acts 16, 6 through 18. Acts 16. Now when they had gone throughout Perga, region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now listen to that for a minute. As preachers, and as we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? The Great Commission. Here was Paul and Silas. I'll get into it here in a little bit. They thought they were doing right. They were going to go to Asia. They were going to go into Asia and preach the word. But listen, lo and behold, what happened? The Holy Ghost forbade them. It wasn't meant to be. There's reason. Let's go on. And after they were come to Messiah, and they essayed to go into Bethaniah, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now get a load of that. Here again, the Spirit suffers them not to do so. And they were going to preach the word. And they passing the Messiah and came to Taurus, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly a gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And I want to tell you something right now. I want to tell you this. This is the greatest call that has ever been sent out and the greatest call that has ever been answered for us. I want you to understand that. And I'll get into that here in a little bit and explain it. You can mark that in yellow, I think, and you'll understand here in a little bit why it is the greatest call that has ever been given. And the reason why they answered it. The reason why God allowed them to go this direction and didn't go any other direction. Therefore, loosening from Troas, we had came straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, and the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony that we were in that city, abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attendeth unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us there. And it came to pass, as he went into a prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought us her master much gain by soothsaying. And I'm going to stop right there. And I want us to pray, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up this message here this morning. Lord, I pray. I pray, Father, that you would go with this message this morning. You know, Lord, we don't understand sometimes how you close these doors and why you close them, Lord. But, Father, we know that also when you close doors that there are times when you will open others, Father. We understand that. And we pray, Lord, that this morning that you would give us this understanding in our heart, Lord. I hope and pray that this message goes out, Lord. I hope and pray that it can be what you'd have it to be this morning. And we give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. If we look at this, Paul had just begun his second missionary journey. This is what it was about. He had chosen Silas to be his partner. And you know what on this trip, if you go back to the 15th chapter, about the 40th verse, it'll tell you that he chose Silas to go with him this time. But again, I tell you, something very interesting happened as they started out on their journey. And it says in Acts, it tells us that the Holy Spirit had told them not to go in the direction that they should go. And you know what? They were sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell all of you in here something this morning. You need to be sensitive of the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life if you are a Christian here this morning. Don't let people tell you that the Holy Spirit can't guide you. Don't let people say that the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. I want you to understand this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I feel that the Holy Spirit guides me. But you cannot deal with me just because the Holy Spirit's guiding me and telling me. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't care who you are in here. They were sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Our thoughts and our prayers, when we get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be by the leading of the Holy Spirit of the God that saved us. Amen. That should be our prayers when we get up in the morning, when we go to get ready to go out of our household. We need to be saying, Lord, whatever the Spirit leads today, let it lead me into a path where I can be what you want me to be, where I can touch somebody, where I can talk to somebody and lead them into you. Praise God. I'm telling you, you may say now, if God's telling you to go and telling you to talk, I want to tell you this morning. It's already been said here this morning. If God is directing you to go and talk to somebody, and the Spirit has put it upon your heart so badly to do it. Just like Linda said earlier this morning, the Spirit of God will already be there to make that heart ready. Do you believe that? I believe it. If He impresses upon my heart so much to go talk to Claire today about something, Claire will already be dealt with by the Spirit. If He's talking to you about going to talk to somebody that they need salvation in their heart, I want you to know something. Whenever you do that, God has already been there. Their hearts are being prepared. Amen? He's already been there. He had already made the situation right. He'll already do that. So Paul and Silas, they decided to, you know what? They wanted to go south and they could not do it to Asia. What do they think they say? They say they're going to go north. So they decided they're going to go north. You know what happens? God tells them in 16:7, but the Spirit suffered them not. So they come from the east. They couldn't go south. They couldn't go north. So what direction did they go? God put it upon their heart to go west. He said He had a vision of a man from Macedonia. He said that man was calling out to them. He said, come over to us and preach the gospel to us. I want you to know, have you ever had a vision in your life of the lost? Have you ever really had a vision in your life of the lost that are out here in this world? And I want to tell you something. If you've not, I want to tell you, you need a vision of the lost that are in this world. You need to understand what they face if they do not accept Jesus as their Savior. We all should have that vision in our lives. There is a world out there today that's calling out to you and I. But Jesus said in His Word that the fields are white with harvest. It's ready to be harvested. There are so many out there that are just out there. The vision of them calling out to us, saying they need something. And you know what the sad part of it is? They have no idea what they need. They don't know. They just know that they have a longing in their heart, Ron. We talk to them every day. They just know that there's something that they want, that they long for, and they can't quite put their hands around it. I want to tell you something. I know what it is. I know what it's like to put my arms around something that can change my life, and it did change my life, and that was Jesus Christ one day. So they want to, you would think Paul and Silas would just throw their hands up in the air. You know what? There are people out here today that whenever God closes a door, they just pretty much just throw their hands up in the air and just give up, right? Now, I've seen them do that. God, they thought that it should have been this way. They thought that they should have had it done this way, or it should have been this way in their life, or they should have got this job, or they should have got this man or woman to be their husband or wife, or they should have got this. And they'll just say, throw their hands up and quit sometimes. Aren't you glad Paul and Silas didn't do that? And I'm going to explain to you why here in a little bit, folks. You know what? We try to go south and it's no. We try sometimes to go north and it's no. Have you ever been there in your life where when you trotted down a path and you thought it was right, has anybody else beside me ever been down that road and God has shut that door? Have you ever been down that way? I'll tell you, I've been down that way. I've been down that way. You think you're doing what God wants you to do. You think you're heading in the right direction, but roadblocks keep popping up all the way down through there. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. It's very popular, very familiar, but it's really good. It's over in Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You know what? You can mark that in yellow. The steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by the Lord. Do you understand that? They are. They are. You know what? This can apply to our families. It can apply to our finances. It can apply to our moves. It can apply to anything. Listen, not only the steps, but also, get a load of this, not only are the steps of a good man, or the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, but also the stops. Amen? He'll close those doors. He'll close them. The same God who can open those doors, He can close them as well. But you know, sometimes God closes doors and puts up roadblocks when we are headed in the wrong direction and we can't see it, okay? We can't see it. Because we feel that it's the right direction in our own hearts and minds. But you know what? God will throw those roadblocks up there saying, that's not the way that it should go. Young people, and I'm here, not here just to, but I want to tell you something this morning. I know, because I've been there. You know what? Just because it seems like it's the right girl or boy for you, just because it seems like it's the right path for you right now, you make sure that you pray that God has given you the direction that it should be. Can I say that with all heart? Just because it looks good now, just because it looks like it's the right thing now, that may not be where God wants you 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road. We don't know. But I'm going to here to tell you, when God closes a door, He can open up another one, and I'll tell you, it'll be just right. We're heading wrong. A lack of peace sometimes can tell us if it's right on the inside. Do we understand that? And the worst thing we can do is try to kick that door in. Have you ever been there? I'll tell you what. I've tried it in my life. I've tried to kick the doors in and go right on through. And you know what happens sometimes? God will let you go through them sometimes. And whenever you do it, whenever you go through those doors and you kick them in and you go, I want you to understand something. It may not be right, and you will suffer the consequences for those doors. Amen. You will do it. If we keep on insisting, if we keep on doing it the way that we want, if we think it's all the right way and we want to do it, I want you to know something. Like I said, He'll let you go through with it sometime. He'll let you do it. Can I say this with all the love that I have in my heart? We need God's wisdom in our hearts. You know that? Before we can know the difference between Satan's hindrances and God's roadblocks. Amen? We need it. I'll tell you the story about a preacher. You've heard me mention him before. Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon. I want to tell you how God works. Listen to this. When he was 15 years old, He was on a mission. He was sent someplace. He's going to an appointment somewhere. A snowstorm hit. And this is back in the 1800s. A snowstorm hit. He turned off because the snowstorm got so bad. And you know where he ended up at? In a little Methodist church that was having service. He heard the preaching. He got saved that night. He got saved. Because, you know what? He was going one way. God orders the steps of a good man. And guess what? He got into a church that night and got saved at 15 years old. A year later, he started preaching the Word. He preached to over 10 million people, that's estimated, in his lifetime. Think of that. In the 1800s, before the cell phones, before all the stuff we have today, that man preached to almost 10 million people, estimated. One time, he went into a place. It was and he was going to just check out the sound. And when he went into it, he was in there and he was preaching the Word. I forget the scripture that he was reading to test out the sound. And one of the workers that was there heard him say the words that he preached, the scripture that he was going to preach on that night, and come and got saved that day. God knows how to work things out. He gave another instance in his life. After he was saved, he was going to go to college at this one certain college. So he was going to meet the president of the college. He went to his house. The butler let him in, took him into a sitting room, and he was waiting on the president. He waited for almost 2 hours on that president. The president never showed. He got up and left just thinking, he got discouraged, just thinking that, you know what, this guy didn't really have any faith in him. And you know what happened was? The president was in that house, but he was in another room. The butler put him in the wrong room and didn't tell either one of them. He got up and left. He went on to another college that is now named after him. And praise God, you know what? He went on to help many people learn the gospel of Jesus Christ because of that. The steps of a good man are ordered. Amen? They are. And I want to tell you that. Just think of that. 10 million people in that day and age. 10 million people. Because why? Man's disappointments are often God's appointments is why. Can I say that again? Whenever we have disappointments, maybe the next step is for God to make an appointment that will make it right and be what we need to be. Praise God. When God closes a door, He can open another, and it happened in Acts 16:9. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over to Macedonia. And they went west. And like I told you earlier, as far as I'm concerned, that is the greatest call that was ever made and accepted. How many of you in here's relatives are from Europe? Raise your hand. I would say the majority of you in here is from Europe, is what I'm going to say. And I want to tell you what, that's where they went. And they started a church in Philippi, which was started a church in Europe. And I want you to know it spread out all through it. And praise God, if your descendants come from over there, I guarantee you they heard the Word of God sometime. Because of it. The greatest call that I believe that any of us could have ever had would have been made right there. Aren't you glad Paul had the vision? Aren't you glad? You might ask, because when Paul answered the call, Paul and Silas got into that boat and they made a beeline there. He knew then why God had done that. The first church was established in Europe was in Philippi, 16:12 and 13. And it says, from thence to Philippi, and this is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and they were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath they went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. You know what? It was mentioned here earlier about how good of women we have in this church. And we do, and I have no doubt about it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. People can put down women for having leadership roles in churches and the stuff all they want. I want to tell you something here this morning. If it was not for women in some of these churches across this land, there would not be churches. They do a lot of things in these churches. Whenever Paul and Silas went into Philippi, they said that they were having a prayer meeting out by the river. And you know what it was? They were Jewish in faith. They didn't even have enough people in that country, in that city, to have a synagogue. Because they needed to have at least 10 people to have a synagogue. So they were meeting along the river. There was only 10 of them. And there was not a man mentioned about right here, right? It was just 10 women. Whenever old Paul got there, he went out there to the prayer meeting with them. He shared with them the Word of God with them. And you know what? Old Lydia got saved. Amen? She got saved. And it goes on to tell us in the rest of Acts 16, there was two or three other people who got saved right there. But you know what was so important about that? You remember what Paul was? Paul was a Pharisee. A Pharisee among Pharisees. And you remember the vision that he had whenever he said, there was a man that called out to me, come to Macedonia? Well, what was that about? This is a woman right here getting saved, right? You want to see how God works? You know the first three things that the Pharisees prayed when they got up in the morning? And this was custom. You know what they did? They thanked God that they weren't a woman. They thanked God that they were not a slave. Amen? And you know what happened here? Who was the first one that got saved? It was a woman. The second one that got saved was a slave. And they thanked God that they weren't a Gentile. And the third one that got saved in Acts 16 was a Gentile. God put down bigotry right now. He did it right then. I don't know if Paul had that in his heart, but I want to tell you something. He's seen a vision of a man coming over there to him. Praise God. When he got there, the first one that got saved was a woman. And I say, praise God. They spread the Word of God. I am thankful. I am thankful when God closes a door that He opens one more door. Amen? Praise God. Peter, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't care who you are here this morning. Listen to me. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care what nationality you are. He doesn't care what you've done in your past or something like that. God, all He wants you to do is come and repent. And if you do that, He said, you know what? He's not willing that you perish. He doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want that. Folks, you know what? Her heart was ready. It says there in verse 14, it said, they can it be found? It said, and heard us whose heart the Lord had opened. I told you earlier that God will prepare a heart before somebody got there. Her heart was prepared, right? I think of the story of Dale, Ruth's brother. And Paul mentions it around here quite a bit, how that he got saved. And whenever he got saved on his deathbed, and how the vision that he had. I want to tell you something here this morning. Listen to this. I went over there to visit him at the hospital. And as a preacher, you know, you think, well, he's dying. You need to go in there and talk to him. The Lord did not impress it upon my heart to talk to him about his soul. You may think, oh, that's bad out of you, Dave. No, it wasn't. I mind the Spirit of God. I want to mind God's Spirit. But guess what? Ruth's brother was impressed upon to come clear from Tennessee to go into that room and talk to that man, and that's how that man accepted the Lord. Amen. If I would have went in there and done just busted down the door and went in and done it myself, it would not have been right. Amen. You've got to mind what God has to do. Listen to me. I can go in and speak the word all I want to, but without God dealing, that word will not do anything. That's why it's important for the anointing of God upon our lives. That's why it's important for the Spirit of God to make the heart right, to make the soul ready, prepare it. And then, you know what we've got to do? We've got to be willing to listen, and we've got to be willing to go. Amen? We've got to be willing to do that. I'm going to tell you what. This woman, it says she was a seller of purple. This Lydia was. She was a... She made high fashion design clothes. Can I say that? And that's what she did. That's what she did. She sold them to the royal and to the rich. She was probably pretty influential at her time. She was probably that way. And you know what? There was something lacking in her life. I'm going to tell you what here this morning. Money will not buy you anything. You can buy a bed with money, but it will not give you sleep. You can buy a clock, but it will not give you time. You can buy a passport to take you anywhere in the world, but it will not buy you a home in heaven. Lydia was unsatisfied. She was unhappy. There was something lacking in her life. And I'm going to close with this here this morning. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life here this morning. I do know this. God didn't let us teach us here this morning. God didn't let me preach us here this morning. Whenever He closes a door, He opens another. Or if He opens the door, He'll close it. I don't know. But I know it's preached here for a reason. You may be here this morning. God is dealing with you beyond measure about something. I feel it. You know what? Maybe you're saying in your heart, man, I don't want Him to close that door. Listen to me. Listen to God. Let Him close it. Let Him open up another way for you, if that's what it takes. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus, this is the most important thing. We're going to have communion here in a little bit. But I want to ask you something. If you do not know Jesus, please come. But listen, don't go out of here another day without Jesus Christ in your heart. Amen? Say, come and get a song.